All right, the Andy Finn Show is back. That's the Rainmakers we're listening to. And today's August 18th. Mike, on this day in 1988, the Republican Convention selected George Bush and Dan Quayle to lead their ticket.
One of the most prolific moments in American political history.
Prolific?
Yes.
Profound?
Yes.
Perverted?
Yes, all of the above.
Well, no, Dan Quayle, George Bush's father's looking better and better to me all the time.
Yeah.
But Quayle has been a national joke for some time, and a lot of some Republicans don't want to face that. But, of course, no one ever took him seriously when he decided he was going to explore a run for the presidency himself. And they said, Danny, we'll call you.
Everybody was like, oh, look how cute. He thinks he's vice president.
In 1986, a station in Philadelphia began simulcasting the Howard Stern Show. I believe that was the first time. So he's been syndicated for 19 years. That's too bad. And in 1983, the Royals defeated the Yankees 5-4, completing the Pine Tar game. It only took 12 minutes. Now, do you know the Pine Tar episode, the Pine Tar game in baseball, Mike?
No.
So, George Brett, Hall of Famer, third baseman for the Kansas City Royals most of his career, came to bat, I think it was at Yankee Stadium, I'm assuming, and he had a home run in the ninth inning or eighth inning or something. And like three-run homer, took the lead. Billy Martin, manager of the Yankees, comes out of the dugout and says to the umpire, hey, his bat is illegal. You're only allowed to have pine tar 18 inches up the bat handle. Pine tar helps a batter get a grip on the bat so it doesn't fly out of his hands and he can hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually rub this tar on your hands, and then you're usually wearing gloves, of course, but you can grab the bat really well and hold onto it and flex it and keep control of the bat. The umpire looks at it and says, you know, you're right. The rules book says you can only have pine tar up 18 inches, and George Brett's goes well up to the bat handle. You're not supposed to be able to get the ball. Tar on the ball is the bottom line. And so Billy Martin talks the umpire into it, and the umpire disqualifies the home run and waves it off and says, no home run. And George Brett comes storming out of the dugout. There's this great film footage of it. And the manager and the whole team have to restrain him. And he's like, are you nuts? In other words, if Billy Martin wants to say he doesn't like the amount of pine tar I have, don't you think that he should question it before I hit the home run? If he's known this is a problem all along and he waits till I hit home run, that's not hardly fair. Well,
that's kind of a valid point.
It's a very valid point. They played the game. The umpires let it finish. And the Royals didn't win. And they appealed the game. You have to file an appeal, I believe, within 24 hours. The Royals appealed the game. Very rarely does an appeal on a baseball game go through. Maybe once every 3 or 4 years do they even bother. The Royals appealed. And it was upheld because the umpire should not have disallowed the home run. He should have said to Billy Martin, okay, you've caught a violation. We'll make sure George Brett doesn't use pine tar above 18 inches from here on. So they reinstated the home run, and they had to finish the last few outs of the game, and the Royals' victory held up. But that's the pine tar incident, if you ever hear about it.
Did you watch that game live?
No, but I certainly heard it was a big to-do in the sports world, of course, when it happened.
Right.
And Billy Martin thought he was so smart, but in fact it didn't work out. He did bamboozle an umpire for a little while. Well, before we get to the humorousness in the country, let me continue with sports. So Rafael Palmeiro made his first appearance back on the field this week with the Baltimore Orioles. Orioles, I meant to say.
I was going to say.
I'm just making fun.
Dunking those in milk.
But what'd you think of Rafi's reception?
I didn't pay too much attention to it. I mean, he got a mixture, didn't he? Of boos.
Yeah, it was some boos and some cheers.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what I expected.
Well, the only thing I'll say about it is this. If the people had just cheered, the sports writers then go the next day and they all write about how awful it is that the crowd supported him. But you have to remember that a crowd can't do very much. They cannot send a detailed memo down to the player saying, whereas we think what you've done is not very cool, but since you're on our team, we'd like to support you, but 45% of us feel this way. A crowd can't do that. A crowd can cheer, and a crowd can boo. So I can remember going back 20-some years, Keith Hernandez went to testify about cocaine use, and he freely admitted informally that he had used cocaine. He testified about it. He came back, and the crowd at Cardinal Stadium in St. Louis cheered him. Actually, Busch Stadium, it's called, in St. Louis, and I was living in St. Louis at the time, and I'm a Keith Hernandez fan, one of the only ball players to ever appear on Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. And redefined first base as a defensive position. And when he came back, the crowds cheered him. And the sports writers around the country are, oh, this is awful. You know, they're no respect for the law, no understanding of what he did.
It's like cheering Hitler.
A crowd can only cheer or boo. This is a hometown hero. They're going to support him. What they're saying is, we may not approve what you did, but we're glad to have you back. And we're with you. I mean, that's what I take it to mean. Mm-hmm. It's not an endorsement of drug use in that case, or in the case of Rafi. Of course, he did get some booze because he did lie to the people. He basically said, I did not have sex with those steroids. And that's a problem when you lie to the American people directly like that. In fact, I understand there was a movement in Baltimore to impeach Rafael Palmeiro.
We'll see if it goes through.
I doubt that it will. Phil Mickelson won the PGA tournament this week on Monday. Of course, the PGA championship is supposed to finish on Sunday. This was the fourth of the majors of the year, the last of the four majors in golf for the Wanamaker Trophy, and it was held at Baltusrol in Springfield, New Jersey. I have been to Baltusrol, not to play. It costs a lot. And in fact, you can't even buy a membership. You have to be invited to join Baltusrol. But the U.S. Open has been held there multiple times. I saw the U.S. Open there in 1993 when Lee Jansen won it. And when John Daly reached the 630-yard par 5 17th hole in two strokes. Tiger attempted it this year and just went over the green and on the back fringe, and the other two times he failed. He actually played the 17th in even par, I think, for the tournament. Most people played it under par because it's a par 5. Not most. A number of people played it under par, meaning they parred it a couple times, birdied it a couple times. He ended up with an average of par for all four holes because he tried to eagle it every day, and sometimes he took bogey. But Tiger, I'm so sick of Tiger Woods. I don't know how else to say it.
He's great.
He is great, and yet it's all Tiger all the time in the sports coverage. Now, Tiger was out of it after the first round last Thursday. He shot 75. The par is 70. He was 8 strokes behind after the first day. He was 8 strokes behind after the second day. And essentially out of it. Now, he played a good second, third, and fourth round. And he played a great round on Sunday. He shot a 68 on Sunday and came in at 2 under par after struggling all weekend. Well, and the leader started falling back after from 6 back. Phil Mickelson then ended up at 4 back. So people were saying, oh, Tiger's in the clubhouse with 2 under. He might win. Well, then there were 2 rain delays on Sunday, and they couldn't finish the tournament till Monday. So Tiger and other people had to stay around just in case there was a playoff. But in fact, Mickelson acquitted himself well in the final few holes, birdied the 18th, and showed that he knows how to win a major again. That's his second major. So the monkey is not only off his back, he is... has established himself as a great player.
Mm-hmm. Kudos
to
Phil.
But I'm so tired all weekend long. It was just, and the all Tiger in the sports pages and on the air, the announcers were saying, well, I know Tiger's 8 strokes behind, but you know, if he can put up a 63 today, come within a few strokes, the rest of the field will feel him breathing down their back. I mean, they just imagine he can do everything. Now, it is true he's the greatest player in golf today. And it is also true he won 2 majors this year. So he's back. But I just wish they didn't pay any attention to anybody else, whether it was Vijay Singh, one of the greatest players in golf, who won 10 tournaments just 2 years ago, or whoever it is. They just don't give anybody else a chance, and that's all they want to talk about is the star. So I actually found myself rooting against Tiger Woods. And in golf, of course, you don't actually root against anyone. Theoretically, you root for people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I've had enough of Tiger for now, and so I was pleased to see Phil win. And when we come back, we're going to talk about another sports hero, Terrell Owens, who's not talking.